you everyone for coming this session. Yes, my name is Ryo Fujinuma. It was very close what he pronounced. I'm doing this presentation instead of my supervisor, Lord Ventria. There is a substantial number of studies have been conducted to find out what is a nitrogen dynamics and what is a N2O and emission from a soil. But for a long time, so we kind of come up with this kind of conceptual figures over those publications. But there is something as we still not so sure about. What is it is a more fundamental upright side of issues, such as a source of fertilizer, what kind of fertilizer we use, or how much fertilizer is going to be applied. And I'm kind of interested in the more placement, where the fertilizer is going to be located in the soil, and also in the soil management, such as the lime applications, and the tillage, etc. And we have those in question in the previous studies, and we conducted in a corn and a soybean production system, which is the most dominant crop system in the United States. As shown in the figure in the bottom in here, and the darker green shows a greater area of corn production, and this match with the how much of fertilizer consumption in here. It's more blue dot shows a greater fertilizer use. So if we can understand this corn and soybean crop system better, then we can improve the estimates of greenhouse gas emission for a national inventory and also carbon offset programs. And keep in the mind, and it's okay, what kind of fertilizer we use for agricultural production? And in the Midwest, main fertilizer source is anhydrous ammonia and urea, which shows in here, which is over half of consumption. And question is, this model, nanomodel is probably, as far as I know, is account for what the kind of chemical form or application method or soil management. So we did in a recent study as a study about the crop rotation system. This is data from a whole growing season in a two cropping system. One is a corn after the corn, and another one is a corn after the soybean. And each year had a difference between the crop rotation and also fertilizer source. And the 3 years average that I really want to mention in here is there is no difference by the crop rotation system. However, we see the source of nitrogen have an impact on the N2O emission. And the total is N2O emission is twice high as from anhydrous ammonia. So we made a much broader estimates and kind of extreme scenario is if we completely substitute anhydrous ammonia and then switch to the urea, then what's gonna happen? And simply what we did is the emission factor reduced in half for an urea, anhydrous ammonia, then estimate the emission, then it could reduce by 20%. And this is equivalent about 28 teragram carbon dioxide emission. So it could be huge. Now we did this experiment in silt loam soil. So our next question is what's gonna happen if there's a similar nitrogen fertilizer source on coarse sandy soil. So we did the experiment in a University of Minnesota research station located in Becker, Minnesota. And this site has an extremely sandy soil, which is a loamy sand and 82% of sand and 10% of silt and 8% of clay. Organic matter content is about 6.6 to 1.5%. Soil pH depends on the lime application. Usually about 5.5, and when we apply lime, it's go up to the 7. Since it's a highly well-drained soil, we have an irrigation system, and the goal is to try to reach about 700 millimeter per growing season. Fertilizer treatment is, one is anhydrous ammonia, and second was urea, but we add one more treatment in anhydrous ammonia, which is a placement of the depths. And the conventional depth is 18 centimeters. And another one is 12 centimeters, we call a shallow application. And urea is it's a broadcasted to the ground and then disk into the soil. And total amount of nitrogen input is 180 kilogram of nitrogen per hectare, which is try to get potential corn yield. Anhydrous ammonia is one-time injection and a pre-plant, and urea is a split application for 3 times. One is a pre-plant, and then, if I remember correct, it's 2 to 3 weeks after an emergence, and then 4 to 6 weeks after that. And NO2 gas emission is using a static chamber method, and this method is some disadvantage. There is a limited temporal coverage because we have to incubate these chambers on the ground. And there's also a physical disturbance. We have to put a base on the ground, so there is some structural disturbance. And also labor intensive. And like showing this picture, when the corn is really small, it's fine, but once its corn becomes taller than your height, then it's just really challenging. But advantage is that this simple system is compatible for plot scale studies and especially multiple treatments in the experiment. This is just an example to show where we can calculate a daily flux using this gas samples, and we can integrate it to the whole growing season emission. And moving to the result, this is the data from Becker site in the top figures. It shows the NO2 emission, and bottom figure shows the NO emissions. This shows a temporal difference in here. What I want to point in here is NO emission, the peak of NO emission always occur before NO2 emission, which is makes sense when how the chemical reaction happen in the gas. And also one more difference in here is NO2 emission is higher peak is always come from anhydrous ammonia. And in for NO emissions, peak is come from urea. So when we submerge this, calculate and accumulate emissions, then become this result. There's two things going on here, so I will walk over. The first one is a source of nitrogen. When we look at comparing the anhydrous ammonia and the urea, which 18 centimeters conventional are used as a reference, then if we switch from anhydrous ammonia to urea, we can reduce the NO2 emission by 30%. That's consistent with the previous study, so we saw it's yay. But when we look at an NO emission, then story becomes a little bit different because NO emission, by switching the fertilizer from anhydrous ammonia to urea, what happened is it's increased almost twice. So what we see in here is if you look at an NO2 emission, yes, if we switch the fertilizer, we can reduce. But if we look at the NO in the total package, it's almost like a pollution swapping. It's go not only a direct greenhouse gas, but NO is an indirect greenhouse gas. So either way, something harmful for environment. And second point is the application method. If we look, there is a shallow application here, it's 12 centimeters. In 2 years, we have a consistent result. What happened is shallow application have twice high NO2 emission. And NO emissions is not really a change in here. This one is actually a different from the publication data, what I found. It's usually is in the fine soil. What we see is deeper application has a greater NO2 emission. So what we see in here is maybe those findings cannot apply in this kind of coarse sandy soil of situation. And so summarizing what we found in here, and so if we switch in anhydrous ammonia to urea, we can reduce the total emission of NO2 by 44%, but end up increasing NO for double. And shifting anhydrous ammonia application from conventional to shallow application, then NO2 emission increases double, but nitrous oxide, and I'm sorry, NO emission is also increased. And before making a conclusion, I want to show one more preliminary result in here. This is one more combination for the whole treatment, which is a lime application. So left side of figure is a no lime, nothing add, so which means pH is about 5.5. And the right side figure is adding lime, causing soil increase about 6.5. So what we see in here is left figure is I already showed for this presentation. But point I want to make is in the urea. In the urea is NO is higher and NO2 is lower at the no-liming site. But after adding the line, what we see is NZO is higher and NO is lower. So what I see in here is, okay, there is a multiple factors of combinations. It's really important what's really going on to see the nitrogen dynamics. So as a conclusion, and fertilizer form placement and the soil management matters. Side-by-side studies is always important in different sites and soils. In denitrification dominated soils, result could be different. Interaction of multiple factors, especially those a lot of different combinations, could affect NZO and NO emission. It is not clear if effect of unharnessed ammonia treatment in this study is due to the chemical form or bonding application. Same effect might occur in a case where urea is bonded. And finally, in the model's inventories, not accounting for important source of variation. Fertilizer use data is available, so it could be combined with improved emissions models to develop more accurate inventories. And then I want to acknowledge the funding source and John Deere companies, and then all the field crews in the research groups. Thank you very much. Now we'll take questions.
So we do have time for questions for our speaker.
Yes. Yes.
Could it be some of the results were due to the split application?
That could be. We did split application for urea because of we trying our way for the nitrate reaching for the urea. So it's common to apply three times or more to split in the whole application. For an anhydrous ammonia, is itself has some delay period. Because of ammonium toxicity in the soil, so we use only one application for this situation.
So, yes. I'm just curious, for the shallow depth in ammonia treatment, is that a direction that growers are moving, or why did you include that as a treatment?
It is growers are moving, but the reason is economical reason. It's a shallow depth, so tractors doesn't need go, you know, those, how is it called, chisels, doesn't need to go deep. It's a shallow, so you don't need put too much power on the tractors. So the running consumption is low. So that's the John Deere company of motivation to do this.
I can see that the crop was generally,
oh, okay.
Could
you state that? Uh-huh. Yes.
There should be a big interaction when you relate, how much you relate,
okay,
with the application of urea.
Irrigation schedule is, as far as I know, is twice a week. I think the visitors probably know better than I do for how much amount wise. Do you have any idea, visitors? And the question was how much water and irrigation and the timing. Okay. I think they have some indicator for the site because they have a full-time site manager over there. That's, I'm not aware of their schedules, so I probably could answer after contact with Rod.
So I have one question for you.
Yes.
So I'm assuming with your method you can't distinguish between these gases that come from nitrification and denitrification, is that correct?
No. What you say answer is correct, yes. This method cannot identify. Yes?
Similar. But isn't your NO to NZO ratio changing quite a bit with your soil moisture and switching between nitrification and denitrification? So I'm just wondering if your numbers, your final numbers at the end there, were they an accumulated figure over the three applications
mm-hmm.
and a range of moisture rates, or was it is that a final number over time? Or?
That's, being honest, I don't know.
So I think we're kind of winding down here. We have let's thank our speaker.